difficult to reach people who are hurting, because hurting people hurt people. And I wanted just to give up the whole meeting then and then. And yet, the Lord knows everything. He knows all things. And it doesn't matter what's happening in our life today, but He is there with open arms, ready to embrace each and every one of us. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord. I say rejoice. Let all your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which suspends understanding, will guard your heart and mind." Heart in the Greek is the heart, the inner life, the intention, the heart, mind, character, inner self, will, intention, the center of all things. And sometimes when the heart is broken, or when the heart is hard, or when it's not able to receive that love from God, it's very difficult then for God to work in our lives. It then talks, and all this actually relates to peace. All these words that Paul is using relates to peace, because the ultimate thing here is when we follow all these things, when we ask God for our hearts to be right with Him, when we aren't anxious for anything, it says that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our heart and mind. The battlefield is in the mind. It's funny how many believers get attacked in their mind. You know, it's very important what we see and what we put into our hearts. You can only look at the media today and the films which are so explicit, which are coming out today. And what people are going to do, they're going to go to the cinema and watch these films. And all this, what they're not realizing is that all these things are going to go into their heart. And then they wonder, especially if believers are watching these films, they wonder why they're having all kinds of battles. And it's what we put in our hearts grows. We have to be careful what we put in our hearts, because the heart is the very inner being of our soul. We need to be pure. Paul is talking about being pure here. In pure in the Greek is pure, unstained, either literally or ceremonially or spiritually guiltless. And Paul was a Jew. He knew the law more than the Jewish people knew it even today. He knew about the ceremonial law, and he's talking about purity here. And it says unstained, and we know that when we become a believer in Jesus, we are unstained, and we get completely washed clean. That's why it was so tragic when this gentleman turned away from the Lord so quickly as well. We need to guard our hearts and have a pure heart. Paul is talking about being true. True here is, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right. The true here in the Greek is true, in fact, worthy of credit, truthful. It's amazing how we need to be really honest and come before the cross and be honest with where we are at. This lady we were on the phone to the other day, everything was very, very spiritual, but she wasn't really coming to terms with the anger and the resentments that she was actually carrying. And so she's not going to have that peace. She's in total torment and angry and hurt. And if only she would allow her guard down and to not allow herself to be hard, and she would allow God to really work in her life. She's not happy in her work situation. And God would be able to give her a new job if she was only able to praise Him and be real before Him. So he says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, honourable is in the Greek at your text here. And it's venerable, honourable, grave, serious and dignified. We want to be honourable in the eyes of the Lord. And then it says, whatever is admirable, and in some texts, whatever is right. Correct and righteousness, especially in the eyes of God, righteousness is what God is actually asking us to do. And then it says, concentrate whatever is lovely and is pleasing, acceptable and grateful. It's very, very difficult in this world and challenging to really live a life unto the Lord when things are going on around us which we are not actually happy with. And we can be attacked in our mind, and we need the Lord to really work in our area of our lives. When it says meditate on things, it's actually talking about practice in the actual Greek text. And so we actually to practice these attributes. We are to practice rejoicing. We are to practice our gentleness. We are to not be anxious in anything. To practice not being anxious in anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present our requests, be made known to God. If we are presenting our requests to God and we're full of bitterness and anger and angst, then how can we expect the Lord to work in our life? He wants to work in our inner characters. He wants us to change us inside. It's not easy to love those who are very difficult to be loved. And God is talking about, when he's talking about love, he's talking about the agape love, the highest form of love, the sacrificial love, which Christ did to lay down his life for the people. And that's what he did. It was a sacrificial agape love. And that's what he was saying to Peter when Peter said, "Do you love me, Lord?" And he said, "You know I do. Do you love me?" And then the third love was an agape love. Do you love me enough to really take up that cross and follow me? And we can ask ourselves, we do love the Lord, but sometimes we can get so caught up in everyday life. And it can be very difficult then to have that peace. And we wonder, my goodness, why am I being so attacked? Why do I not have that peace? And we want to look what's happening in our hearts. What are we taking into our hearts? Are we spending time with the Lord? Are we, and this is not to condemn anyone and or anything like that, but it's so important for us to have that quiet time with him, because he's able to really speak to us in that inner quiet place. We were ministering, Cara and I were ministering to someone about a couple of months ago, and they were completely tormented in their mind. They were seeing, they could not have that peace. And then they were thinking very bad thoughts, and it was getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And we told them to take scripture, and we ministered to them. They were eventually baptized, and they were set free. But it's amazing how Satan really wants to attack those of the body of Christ. Sometimes we had a meeting with a minister in one of the churches, and this minister said that they really felt like things were not happening. And we had a sort of revelation from God, which we thought it was from someone else. In the meeting, and this minister came and visited, and we revealed this revelation to her, and she said, "That's me," and she almost cried, and it was amazing to see that how God really works in people's life. Sometimes we can think that the things that we're praying for are not being answered, but God is answering those prayers, and if we trust in him, he is going to pull through. Colossians 3 says, "Since then you have been," Colossians 3 verses 1 to 4, "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory." You see, Paul was writing again here to the Colossian church. He was saying, think about Christ. Put your attention on Christ. When things are difficult, when things are challenging, when we feel the whole world crumbling in our eyes and we think, "Lord, where are you?" And we start to get negative and bitter and angry, we need to be still and know that he is God and declare his promise for our lives. We look at the situation in North Korea and the situation in Syria and the situation in the Middle East. And we can ask ourselves, why? Why are these poor men beheaded? Why are these people executed for trying to help those who are in need? Why are people persecuted for their faith? Why are people tormented and hurting? And yet God is in the midst of all these things which are happening. He cries for those who are hurting. He weeps for those who are lonely. He wants to comfort those who are widowed. He wants to comfort those who are grieving. We met a homeless guy at Costa's, and we went in to buy him a sandwich and a coffee. And the Chiara got talking with the Italian young guy in Costa's, and he said this is for this homeless guy as a way of witnessing. And I think what was said is, if it was us out there, people wouldn't really care, because society has become quite hard, especially if, when you look at London, it's very, very hard-hearted. And he said, yeah, you're right. No one would really care. And it was so sad that this man was outside, sitting in the cold, and just buying him a sandwich or a coffee really touched him. And yet so many people just walk past those who are hurting. And so many people walk past when you're giving them a track and they don't want to know, they tear tracks, they get aggressive, sometimes they spit, or sometimes they get upset. And I'm not just talking about Jewish people, I've had non-Jewish people get quite aggressive as well. People today are rejecting the Lord of Lords, and one day we're going to be standing in front of him, and he's going to say to us, "Well done, true and faithful servant. Here is your inheritance. I will wipe away every tear from your eyes." Whatever we're carrying in our past, whatever we're carrying today, the Lord wants to give us that peace. John 14, verse 27 says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give with you." It would have been written in Greek there, so I've explained the Greek for that. "But I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." We can't imagine what Christ must have felt like. He was going to be beaten. He was going to have a crown of thorns put on his head. He was going to be nailed to a painful cross. He was going to be hanging on a cross, not being able to breathe. And he said, "Forgive, because they do not know what they do." And he was saying, "My peace I give to you." He was giving his peace to the people. We can ask ourselves, are we at peace today? Are we up at peace with our relationship with God today? Or are we carrying hurts and worries of the past, or worries of the future, holding on to resentments, not letting go, not letting allow God to work in those areas of our lives? I was saying, I'm coming to a close here, but I was saying that Paul was imprisoned here, and all of the disciples were killed except John, who wrote Revelation. And we know that when Jesus resurrects and he sees Peter and he tells Peter what's going to happen, and Peter said, "What about him?" And he points to John, and Jesus says, it's not your affair what's going to happen to him. But the point of the matter is, all these people, followers of Jesus, they were killed practically, and yet they still had peace. They still chose to really follow him. Paul was beheaded. Christian tradition says that Paul being beheaded in Rome about 60 AD during the reign of Nero. Peter was crucified upside down in about AD 64. And I've talked about the prison, but the hellish prison in which the founder of the Roman church supposedly spent the final days consisted of two levels of cells, one on top of each other. The lower cell could only be reached through a hole in its roof, and was reportedly where the Romans imprisoned their most formidable enemies. And some prisoners starved to death, and their bodies were tossed into the, I'm probably pronouncing this wrong, Colotta Maxima. And you can see that today, which is the river sewer, basically. And yet Paul was still talking about peace, supplication. And I will just to finish off, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. We can ask ourselves, are we thinking of these things today? Or is our mind elsewhere? Are we putting our attention on things which draw away from the Lord? Or are we having that steadfast, being like a flint, not really being focused on him, running the race like Paul is talking about in many of the scriptures? We want to put our trust totally in him. And if we put our trust totally in him and present our request to him with a heart which is trusting, then it is true, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our heart and mind. The battlefield is of the mind. And it says, the book of Romans says, be not transformed in this world, but transformed by the renewing of the mind. And we only get the renewing of the mind by spending time in the scriptures and letting go of past hurts, forgive those who perhaps we need to forgive, letting go of fear, not being fearful of what's happening in the world, but trusting that the Lord is with us. We don't need to be fear in the dark. We don't need to be fear of what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't need to worry about tomorrow. We've only got today. Jesus says, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Hasn't tomorrow got enough troubles of its own? And then he talks about the birds. They don't have to worry about what they're going to eat. The Heavenly Father has provided for them. And the Heavenly Father has provided each and every one of us here today. Whatever it is that we are believing for, wherever we are with the Lord today, let us really think about this passage of Scripture today and trust in his unfailing love and hand things over. Let's not hold on to things, but hand things over and trust that he's got a wonderful future for us. And he wants to give us that peace which surpasses all understanding to guard our heart and our mind. And I'm just going to finish off with prayer. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this church in Frinton. We pray for the areas of Frinton, Lord. Those areas where people aren't coming to church. They don't even know you as their saviour. Lord, we do pray, Lord, for those people to come into this church and we just pray, Lord, that they will come and see that you are their saviour. We pray, Lord, for more and more people in Frinton and Clacton and Walton to come to know you as their saviour. I do pray, Lord, for the guy in London as well who turned away from the Lord. I pray, Lord, that he would come back to know you as his saviour. I just pray, Lord, for people here who are maybe carrying hurts from the past, Lord, that they're able to release those hurts and forgive those who have done wrong, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you would heal those who are maybe sick, Lord. That you would heal those of maybe have damaged emotions, Lord. That you would heal those who are broken. That you heal those, Lord, who are carrying the past with them, Lord. That they're able to let go of the past. Lord, those of us who perhaps don't have peace of the mind, are being tormented in the mind, would you just still our minds, Lord? Keep our minds, just give us that peace in our mind. We really, Lord, ask for that peace and ask that you rebuke the enemy off our lives. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that for your unfailing love. We thank you, Lord, that you say rejoice. And let us rejoice, Lord, even though things can seem challenging. Let us rejoice in all things, that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Amen.